One, two, three, four!
What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Good. How have you been?
You know, I've been good, man. I've been good.
How's life? How's work?
Work's good, man. Things are a little bit different now since I gave my 2 weeks. You know, it's been nice.
That's the official. It's the final countdown.
Yeah, September 1st. I'm fucking eating myself out of there.
That's the first day of school. That's the first day of soccer.
That's the first day of a new life for Devon.
Do you have a day you moved down south yet?
I'm still a little torn on that. I don't know if I'm going to go right away or if I'm just going to wait till October and just like chill here unemployed for a little bit. We'll be working on my real estate license in the meantime with all this off time that I'll have, so.
Cool, you can sell me a house.
Yeah, I'll sell you a house, you know?
Just give it, sell it to me under the table. Fudge the numbers, that way
I'll just walk in, steal the deed.
Steal the deed. Pull a classic national treasure.
Yeah.
Steal me the deed to the house.
And then the house is yours.
And then it's too late. I have the deed. Actually, it's my house.
Right.
I don't need to buy it from you. It belongs to me.
Exactly.
I have the deed right here.
Egg.
Good plan.
Exactly.
I don't know if you learned that bit yet in your classes, but I'll be waiting for my help.
Oh. Soon. Soon enough.
How's your gaming life going?
Gaming life is going swimmingly. I beat Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart the other day, so I was pretty stoked about that. I got to try out the new Ghost of Tsushima DLC because that dropped yesterday, I believe. Yeah, 20th. It dropped the 20th.
Wow.
And then, obviously, Apex. Been just grinding hard on Apex, you know.
Yeah, it's no Fortnite, but I heard it's pretty good.
Oh, God. What has this podcast devolved into?
It's got two different angles now. It's got different perspectives.
Crazy. What about you? You told me that you beat the shit out of Boyfriend Dungeon.
I beat the shit out of Boyfriend Dungeon. I kissed all the boys, and yeah. I went into all the dungeons.
Wow.
And it's a great game. Highly recommend it.
All the dungeons unprotected.
No protection. No.
I mean, you had a little protection, but you know. Not what most people think.
Right. It's a great game. It's very fun. It's a little dungeon crawler. But you know, the unique part about it is that the weapons that you use are people. 'Cause in this world, like, some people just shapeshift into weapons, and that's normal. It's never made to seem like it's strange in any way. It's just a thing, which is, you know, get used to pretty quick. So, you know, they're all people. They all have very different personalities. There's a lot of representation of different race, genders, sexualities, like identities that are all kind of represented throughout the spectrum of weapons. 50-50 time spent, you know, talking to your source, giving them gifts, going on dates, giving smooches.
Oh yeah.
And then the rest of the time you go into the dunge, which the starting one is, you know, it's like a mall. You go down through floors and get as far as you can. It's very fun because there's no, it always feels like you're progressing and you're always doing something positive. So even if you get down to four floors and then you die, you still end up with, you know, all the experience you gathered. You level up your person enough. You have to get enough like time spent with each weapon to level up their bar all the way before you can go another date to get their like love level higher. And then once you do that, you unlock new talents with their weapon. So it's pretty cool.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah. My favorite weapon in the game is not even a person. It's a cat.
Ooh.
Yep. Yeah, one of them you can get, it's a cat, and he turns into a pair of spiky brass knuckles.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, he's, I like, badass. That.
I like that. You've also been playing kind of like similar to that, Hades.
Yeah, after finishing that, I still had the hankering for some more running around, smashing, beating stuff up quickly, you know, roguelike dungeon crawling, and Hades is very good.
Love that.
It's very, very good. Very, so far, it's like just beautifully well designed. Like the level design, the music, the voice acting, the character, just the theme of it is really nailed very well. I'm enjoying that one a lot.
They did such a good job with that game. I remember playing it when it first released. And I played it. I streamed it actually for like 3 days. I just streamed it because it was just so much fun and so good.
Yeah, I want to go through and try to like full complete that one, because with Boyfriend Dungeon, I did full complete it. Like I have 100% of the achievements, 1,000 out of 1,000 on Xbox.
Damn.
I spent the time to get all every single gift, every craftable. I maxed out every potential interest. Got them all to the full maximum level.
Damn, you went hard.
I did it all. Yeah. It's a great time.
How long did it take you to beat Boyfriend Dungeon?
My final play time was like 12 hours.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. And I think it could have been less. I just, you know, sometimes I was just doing extra stuff or trying to go back and do something else and just playing around.
Oh, that's sick.
I think Hades is going to take a lot longer.
Oh, 100%.
But that's good. And after Hades, then I'm going to play Dead Cells.
Probably. Nice. Dead Cells is dope too.
For that like genre, that'll be the next one I do. I also want to play through all of Dragon Age again. But that's going to also be a time-consuming endeavor.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot. Yeah. A lot to handle. But that's a good one, too. Shit.
It's a good one. And then, you've been playing Apex in, like, the off time for other stuff. I've been playing Fortnite.
Yeah. Which, I guess, kind of segues us into our next discussion, which is your... The Fortnite lore, because you texted me and you were like, hey, do you know like the lore of Fortnite? And I was like, I know it has something to do with, you know, Detective Jonesy. Like Jonesy is like doing something.
John Jones.
Yeah. He's looking.
Formerly of the IO.
Yeah. He's looking for something or trying to do something. I don't know what it is. But you said it pertains to why Fortnite's a battle royale, right? Correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So, because I know, Apex has its characters and its lore and why the battle royale exists in there. It's like a, game, like a competition. In Fortnite, I didn't know anything. I just know there's like a bajillion skins. I know like LeBron James is in it. I know like, Ariana Grande is in it, and like all these Marvel and DC characters are in it. And now, Rick from Rick and Morty is in it. And Morty is supposedly coming next season. And I'm just like, I don't understand how there can't be any like cohesive story or plot to any of this that makes any fucking sense. It just gotta be all for like goofy fun. And I was very wrong when I went and looked it up, and there is actually more so since Chapter 2 came out, and like they've kind of been upping the game, but there's been an ongoing cohesive, like, even though it's very complex, it's almost like a Kingdom Hearts level, like overly complex since Chapter 3, Season 3 of Chapter 1 is when it first started. The first two seasons didn't have any real like plot to them, but Season 3, I think that's when it started with like the cracks, like the void cracks in like the sky.
Yeah.
Leading up to, I think it was 4 where either 3 or 4, where the meteor crashed and destroyed. I think it was Dusty Depot is the original place it destroyed.
Yep.
Dusty Depot. I read so much today, I can't keep track of the exact place names, but I turned it into Dusty Divot. Yep. I think they would like, yeah. And on that asteroid, was the Visitor, who is one of the 7. So he was like locked in a pod inside the meteor, and then he gets out, and then he builds the rocket that flies around and goes through all the rifts, and he eventually like escapes out. But so, like, fast forwarding to like where everything is now. So I was just trying to figure out like, how does this all make sense? They must have some way they're trying to rationalize how the game keeps repeating, like any battle royale where you're just doing the same thing and then everyone dies, someone wins, and you do it all over again. There must be a reason. And the one in Fortnite is pretty cool in that the I don't know if it's like the official name or if it's, I think it's just like the code name, game name, whatever, but the first island from Chapter 1 is called Athena, and the one from Chapter 2 is called Apollo. So the islands are like regarded differently. But everything that's on the island itself, from what I've looked into for it, operates as kind of like a bridge between like all of the possible realities of the multiverse, of every potential reality. The island itself is the bridge between all that. Which the zero point, which is that energy that's basically like a singularity inside of an orb, which is what the mech grabs out of the ground to punch the monster with. That is kind of what like fuels all of it and keeps it going. And then the loop is basically what you're stuck in if you're on the island. You get in the loop when you go into it. And when you're in the loop, wherever you came from, you lose your memory the longer you're in it. And the more you cycle through the loop, you begin to lose your memory and remember where you came from, like what universe or place you came from and why you're there and how you got there in the first place. And you basically just become a part of it. And the storm is like a part of the loop too. There's a comic book, like Batman Fortnite crossover, Batman Zero Point, where it's like canonized that each loop is 22 minutes of the storm closing in. And the only way to escape the loop is to be the final person within the loop at the like center point, the eye of the storm, essentially, as the storm closes, you can escape the loop.
That's crazy.
And then you enter like this post loop, the secondary loop area. At this point in the plot, it's made aware that the IO, like the group that is fighting off the aliens in the current one, the one that John Jones works for, and what is the current name? Dr. Sloan worked for. She's like, I guess she's a high, either a high member or like a current leader or whatever. They basically like run the island and run the loop and keep track of everything. And they ensure that nobody leaves, that nobody escapes the loop. But anytime that someone enters the loop, a snapshot is created of them, which is basically like a clone, like a duplicate.
Yeah.
So anytime that anything is introduced into the loop, a duplicate comes up. That's why that's like what in game explains all the different variant skins of each thing. Mm. They're each like snapshot clones of the original. And over time through the loop, when they lose their memories and recycle, they basically take on entirely new personalities and become new entities and new people of their own. But they started off as a snapshot of the original that created them. So that's really in concept what explains like how, like there's, from what I was looking up, one of the rumors for season 8 of chapter 2 is that Will Smith is going to get a skin in game. For characters like that, they're coming from our reality, like the real life reality that the Looper, which is what you're referred to as the player, is from. So like Ariana Grande does the concert. Now a snapshot of her is created in the world. So now players have her skin that they can play as because there's a snapshot of her that's in the world.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is cool. That's how things like, so like in the theory of this, like Marvel, DC, all of them coming in, is because in the theory of like this game's outlook on it, all of those universes that they exist in like our fiction are actual real universes that they're coming from. So there's the real human one, there's the DC, there's all the different Marvel universes, there's Rick and Morty exists in its own universe, like, and all those characters come into this. And then once they do, there's a snapshot exists of them.
I'm actually installing Fortnite right now on my PS4.
Wow, I convinced you.
I'm here for it.
It's pretty cool. But, yeah, and like through chapter 2, like a lot of crazy shit happens. So like I always trying to keep everything contained, and like one of the theories that I've learned is that they might have like stumbled upon the island like through research and discovered it and realized what it was, and their point of containing it is because if any of these snapshots get out, the snapshots couldn't exist with the real people in tandem. It would cause like a, you know, break in reality for them to all be anywhere but here, because this island serves as a place where multiple beings of the same, like a snapshot, like a clone, can exist together, but outside of like in our Earth, like we couldn't exist together. Wow. And I think it was season 4 or 5. I think it was the one where the rocket came out. I don't know. Is where they canonized that like the first real person from real life was like transported to Fortnite, which was Drift. He's the character with like the fox mask. Mm-hmm. So he was in like the floor. He was like a real person from California who was like a graffiti artist. And when shit was messing up because of the rocket from the visitor, part of like one of the restaurants, like, got rifted into California, into a part of like a desert in California.
Mm, where was, he was It was the burger. The fucking
yes, it was Der Burger.
Der Burger, yeah, Der Burger. Yeah.
So that appears in California. He's tagging it, doing his thing, and then another rift opens, taking it and him back, and then he gets put into the island. And in doing so, a snapshot's created of him, but he's the first like person from like the human reality that the Looper, you as a player, are from. So like, it's like a break the fourth wall esque kind of like
yeah, no shit.
Plot it's to crazy. It that like he's supposedly supposed to be a real person who got through and then for lost his memory of it, so he doesn't know he was a real person. Wow. Same wise, I'm sure that's how like the Travis Scott skin and Ariana Grande, those are all supposed to be described as, you know, there are snapshots of that real person who, you know, Io, like the people who run the island, could basically be reaching out to our reality and offering them to like perform within this island to entertain the people who live there. So like it's very cool way to explain it all to me.
That's kind of crazy.
But that's know? What explains like every one of those skins. In the first chapter, like the ice and fire lords who like have their battle, that's kind of unrelated. Like they existed on different continents and they had their own battle, and one of them got locked into, you know, the ice lord like locked the fire lord into a prison and then sacrificed himself to like permafreeze everything so that it could never be like the temperature could never rise high enough from him to let himself escape. But then part of that island breaks off from the fucking Santa Claus guy with all his snowmen who bring it to the island, and then it thaws and he gets out, which of course led to that monster eventually breaking out and having to fight the mech. And in the mech, the theory is that that singularity, the character singularity, who is supposedly a member of IO, the imaginative order, but it's also like a theory that she is the paradigm, which is one of the seven. And the seven are the ones who led to the ending of chapter one and the destruction of Athena.
Right. That was like the black hole thing, right?
Yes. Okay. Their whole goal was, it's like kind of a gray area for both sides. Like IO is to like keep the island intact, don't let anybody escape, keep it going. And all these outside forces want the power of the zero point, which is, you know, this like high energy singularity. And the seven are this like secret group that like not much is known about, the ones with like the masks that like are like the zero from Borderlands. Mm-hmm. Which funny enough, in the season that like brought things in from real life and shifted them, part of Pandora was actually a part of the game during that season. I didn't know that. Like part of Borderlands, like the map of Borderlands was actually a part of the island. Yeah, because
I think the bandit was like a
yeah, they had like a crossover where part of that was there. It was cool. Anyway, so like there's so much shit that I just have to keep reading about it because it's actually really cool. But the seventh whole thing was to like break the rift and let like end the loop and get people out and break it, like basically like restore reality and end it all. So it's hard to say like who's the bad guy. Is it the people who the organization that's like trapping all these snapshots here, these clones, like kind of unethically and keeping them in this like continual battle that keeps looping over and over, or is it the people who are trying to destroy that and potentially like breaking down reality once the people get out? It's like, which is really the villain,
right?
It's kind of hard to say.
That's pretty dope.
But yeah, chapter one, they, you know, they succeed. So obviously the first asteroid that crashes brings the Visitor.
Nice.
Who's a member of the Seven. The Visitor does his business with the rocket, causes the break. When he causes that break, that's what creates the crossover with real life. That's what brings in Shift California, brings in Drift, and like basically creates like an instability. But they stabilize it. But once like Jonesy goes through that whole thing, if you watch the trailer where he's like floating through and seeing like at one point seeing like an entire timeline of the first chapter. And then at the end, that same meteor comes back, but it's like frozen in time and it's not like colliding with the ground like it did before. And in that frozen meteor is the scientist, which is another one of the seven, but is actually the Visitor, but like a different universe Visitor. So it's like an alternate reality Visitor who is a different entity. So they're like the same person. So it's kind of like a Kang the Conqueror sort of situation where it's like they're all, or at least the Visitor and the scientist, they're the same person, but from different, like they're different versions of the same person from different like multiverse.
It's literally like its own multiverse for
yeah, except it encompasses everything that's ever existed, like humankind, and like, and then basically as so they can have a crossover with any game or any person that they want, which is where all the coolest ones come from, which Kratos. Is the hunters. Yeah, the hunters. So In chapter two, John Jones, his job was to hire hunters to come in and cause chaos and ensure that nobody escapes the loop while they're figuring out a way to lock it down. So that's where he brings in Mando, Master Chief, Kratos, all these people from all these different outside unit realities. Like, that's how they're getting their cool, like, look who's in our game. It's Master Chief. You love that guy. But it actually has a lore purpose. Like, John Jones, part of the IO, is constantly like reaching out to different realities and pulling in like prominent figures from those realities and bringing them here to sow chaos. Yeah, it's pretty cool. The list of some of the ones that are supposed to be hunters. I don't know if I sent you the image.
No. So is there a way to get all these things again or no? Like once you miss the skins, you miss the skins.
I think you have to, if you don't do them actively while it's the season, I think you have to just wait for them to rotate into the store and then buy them with V-Bucks.
Damn.
So there's like always a way to earn it when they're added during the season. But then afterwards, yeah, I think you have to wait.
I'd like to
you lose your opportunity to just earn it, which sucks. I really want the Wonder Woman set, but it's only in the store right now, and it's very pricey, more than I want to spend. But it is very cool. But I just had to know, because like in this season, to unlock Clark Kent and get Superman and everything, you have to go and do like quests in-game, and the people you get the quests from are Clark Kent, Beast Boy, and Armored Batman. And I'm like, what the fuck are these people doing here? Like, there's got to be a reason. They didn't just randomly, and they had to get all the licensing. Like, there's some thought going behind this. So that's what I looked up to figure, like, how do these people even get in here?
So then you just stumble upon all that.
Yeah, and Batman and Catwoman have broken out of the loop. And the crazy thing of all, like, how this crossover in the story is, like, they were, like, their adversaries to breaking out were, like, Deathstroke, Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe tried to stop Batman from getting out. He was like working on behalf, I think, of Io to stop him getting out. There's so many of these characters that cross into it. People who are collaborating behind the scenes with Io is like Lex Luthor. The Batman Who Laughs is on the list of being like at some regard like involved with them. And they're potentially down the road going to be, you know, added in. Hunters. Let me find that list of if I can find the full list. I think this is it. Maybe not.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like when you put thought into it, it's like these guys are like thinking about this every day.
Yeah, and the Devourer of Worlds event, which was with Galactus, yeah, it's what damaged the Zero Point most recently. So that's where these most recent ones are. That's where basically John Jones is going down and pulling in these other characters from different realities from the Zero Point to keep everyone busy while they're trying to, you know, get away to restabilize it.
Isn't Ripley in there as well?
Yeah. So the full list of like teasered ones are Maeve. Let's see, Maeve. I don't know what Maeve is. Wow, Mystique is in this game too. Damn,
yeah,
this one I didn't even know about. I'm trying to find the list that I had before of the hunters. Oh, this is it. Okay, so there's 30 hunters that were hired by Agent Jones from different worlds to stop anyone from escaping the loop and to reseal the bridge. They were the Mandalorian. Reese Mancake, who's a wanted outlaw gunslinger from Reality 3258. He owns a market. It's like basically he has a pancake, a sack of pancakes for a head with like syrup and butter on it. Condor Lexa, who's like the, I don't know if you've seen like the anime skin. It's like a, I don't know. Kratos, Master Chief. Daryl Dixon from
The Walking Dead,
The Predator, Sarah Connor, T-800, Snake Eyes, a whole shitload of characters from the world of Tron, The Flash, Ryu, Chun-Li, Ellen Ripley, Ant-Man are all hunters.
Wow.
So those are all from different ones. Hunters that are planned are either delayed or still in production. Naruto, John McClane from Die Hard.
Wow.
Samus from Metroid. Beatrix Kiddo from Kill Bill.
Whoa. Okay. Hold on. Wait. Okay. Hold on. All right. Now we have my interest.
Yeah, here. She's on the list. Katniss Everdeen from the Hunger Games, and Snake Plissken from Escape from New York
series. Ooh. Okay.
Those John are McClane. All either planned to appear or have been delayed, still in production, or they've been scrapped. So
Beatrix Kiddo, dude.
Yeah, it's possible the that it Black might not happen.
Mamba herself.
Yeah, that one might not come to be, but...
Well, if it doesn't happen, then I'll just delete Fortnite from my...
You have to just delete it. No, you got to play with me after this, now that you fucking did it.
I'll just delete it.
Yeah, so the Imagined Order was first introduced in the device event, which was, I think, in Chapter 2, Season 3, but they were only given a name recently in Season 5. So they're like this... like the government agency that exists basically, and Agent Jones is the part of that. But yeah, you actually responded to me with your only knowledge of like, yeah, isn't, you know, Jonesy's looking for something.
Yeah.
John Jones is, who is technically like separate from Jonesy, because there was the first Jonesy, yep. And they might all be snapshots of John Jones because he's had to go into the loop. And then there's the Jones with like the big beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Bunker Jonesy.
Yeah, he was trapped in a bunker or something like that.
Yes, yeah. Yep. That's because, yeah, he got sent in. Bunker Jonesy, I think, is a snapshot of John Jones because he had to go into the loop, and then him and Peely got locked in the bunker. And they were locked in there so long, and they turned him into a smoothie.
Yeah.
And Peely is also Agent Peely now. There isn't like an Agent Peely, and he was working for the agency, which was run by Midas. I don't know if you know who that is. The guy, like the guy who's gold.
Yeah, yeah, the Midas touch.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's the Team Shadow and Team Ghost from Chapter 2, which were also Ego and Alter were the groups, but then they become Ghost and Shadow. That's where it says Arbitrary, and it's kind of like Kingdom Hearts, where it's like all these fucking names.
Right.
Because Ego and Ghost are the same thing, and Alter and Shadow are the same thing. They just like one has like agents and one is the organization, but they're kind of the same thing.
Wow.
But yeah, they're like working different sides. There's like all these fucking characters around. And at this point now, John Jones got sent into the loop by Dr. Sloan on behalf of Io to do what he was supposed to do. And then at some point while being in there, he said, fuck that. And he basically betrayed Io and contacted who is the one from the seven here that he contacted, the Foundation, who's like rumored to be probably the leader of the seven, but he contacted him and they're like working together. He was called by Agent Jones to help him fix the zero point, and he promised to get him to Gino and the sisters, who are people that were name dropped by this, but we don't know who they are yet. They sound cool. He agreed, and then he was sealed inside the zero point. And then after the spire was destroyed, which happened this season, because the mothership showed up and straight up yoinked the whole thing and abducted the zero point out of the map, he fell into the ocean, and it's unknown where he is. But I guess in the last season, some dude was messing around in the spire, which was the big tower in the middle of the map. It was introduced in season 6. It replaced just like where the zero point used to be. It was there for a while. And then Spire Artifact Raz, it corrupts the dude Raz. And from whatever that is, whatever he does with the zero point with him, it like attracts the aliens to show up, the ones that are involved here. There's like crazy connection because like in Batman and Fortnite, Zero Point, Deathstroke uses the spire to open like a hatch. The zero point is located inside the tower, and it's located in a location known as the Bridge. The Bridge is like the headquarters of the Imagined Order. The Bridge is also the entire where the entire game takes place in the new Imposters mode. So the only way you can access the Bridge, and you can see all of the place where Io is and all of their research and where they've been launching battle buses from and all this shit, is where this Imposters game mode takes place now. And the imposters are, you know, the aliens. They like take the form of humans. And in the map, when you play the game now, you find some that are look like humans, but if you talk to them and talk to them too much, they'll turn into an alien. You have to fight them. And they're living among. And like the current character, Joey, was an alien that takes the disguise of one of the humans, but then became like sympathetic to the humans, so now helps them. So the bridge is really like that there's aliens who are imposters here and are trying to sabotage the bridge, which is, you know, where you see like John Jones in the office in one of those cutscenes, that's on the bridge. So it's pretty cool, which leads me to the next thing that I want to discuss, which is the ethical aspects of this game, of the imposters game mode, which while cool is literally a like copy paste, every aspect completely taken directly from Among Us, even the names of things like the imposter and things like that are like straight lifted. The map is almost the exact same thing. The con- wow. I know, like, you know, all that. There's like a big thing on Twitter, like a lot of people are pissed that it, you know, Epic is basically robbing all this straight from a, you know, an indie developer, a small indie developer, which of course they've gotten very popular and very successful, but that right. they have just copy pasted that into their game. But I've played it and it's, I don't know, I felt it's different enough because it still feels like Fortnite because it's still third person. You're running around. There's no text or voice chatting that I can tell. I could be wrong. I think I had voice chat turned off because I played with my kids, but there's like, you do like a ton of emotes. And they're all contextual, like, I'm suspicious of this person. I saw this person. And it lets you, like, tag multi. So it's like, I saw three kill that one. Or I saw this person not doing tasks or something like that. Like, it lets you contextualize all this different stuff. And then you stand in a circle and you point at the guy. And then after you get taken out by one of the imposters, you become, like, this floating ethereal person. Basically, like the ghost. And you get to float around and see everything. But you can't, you know, communicate anymore.
Wow.
But the jobs are cool. Like, you go to like the cafeteria and you have to order food and it's like on a sticky note and you're interacting with the computer, or you have to go clean off the battle bus because it's like dirty. So you have to pick up one of like the guns and clean it off. So you actually have to do the jobs, which is the one thing that is a little bit different and more intricate, I guess.
Yeah.
I've never played as the imposter yet, so I don't know what that's like. But it's cool because it's a little bit, to me, it's, I don't know, it's not necessarily less violent, but I don't want my kids to play Among Us because, you know, there's all the people that are talking are usually toxic and you know, the game itself is kind of like bloody when they kill each other. But in this mode, it's not so much and they can't actually talk. It's all contextual. So I'm actually okay with them playing this portion. So there's that to it too.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh yeah. Well, maybe we'll have to get some Fortnite games in here.
I'm just saying. I came from a place, if there's anybody who came from a place of absolutely shitting on this game and hating it and talking negatively about it forever, haven't played it since Chapter 1, Season 7. That's when the bulk of my skins are from. And again, only because my kids were playing it back then. And then I stopped letting them play it for a while. And then came back here and I'm like, wow, this game's actually pretty fucking good. And then I just got more into it because that's what I do. I can't help but find the history and the storyline and, you know, get more involved in the game versus just not just a surface level.
Right. Which is pretty cool because I feel like, I mean, I had no idea, right? I didn't know that there was an overarching story to this. I mean, I kind of figured, right, because of all the events that were going on, but like they're so random that you wouldn't even really know. Like I bet you there's like a lot of pro Fortniters and people that make, you know, that do content for Fortnite still that don't know the stories about what's going on.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that I forgot. Now you just meant content creators. The custom games, like the creative mode,
yeah.
Every day there are a new line of featured games that are, they're just like a mixture between custom Counter-Strike maps and like Warcraft 3 maps, where there's one that's like red versus blue, which is just these giant, it's just this giant, like someone made, you know, a custom map of just like team deathmatch of two colors. There's one that we played, which was The Floor is Lava, which I don't know if that was official or a custom, but it was like the whole point was there were no weapons. You just had harpoon guns. And from a certain area, instead of a storm, the map just got higher and higher elevation because lava just filled the whole map. And eventually you're just building shit into the sky, the last few people, and trying to destroy their stuff and drop them into lava, which was,
again, that's really sick. Cool.
There's one that's like a gun game, you know, where you're like leveling up different guns. And these are all player created, and they have like, you know, where you can contribute to them directly, and they kind of like are making money off of making these different maps. One that's a role play server where you're like in the Wild West and you're like a sheriff or a shop owner, and there's like an endless amount of these custom ones too. And in those custom ones, you're still earning experience and leveling up your battle pass. Even if you play one of those, you don't have to play like the official game. You can play whatever you want. And you're still making progress.
Just cross progression for it.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and it's cross-platform, cross-progression anywhere. I don't know. It feels like they're really doing everything right with it.
Well, Fortnite was the first. Let's talk about it now, like, since we're on the discussion of Fortnite and what Fortnite originally was when it came out. It was, you know, a survival zombie game.
Yeah.
Had a main story, campaign, all that. The game did not do well at all.
No,
it did awful.
I loved it too. I had the beta. I like pre-ordered it, the original game. We bought it.
I was still working at GameStop when this came out, I'm pretty sure. And the game just got shit on. And then they came out with Battle Royale. And now that they came out with Battle Royale, that was the fastest growing game. You had people like, Ninja made his career off of Fortnite. A lot of people made their careers off Fortnite. Ninja played with Drake. He's played with Travis Scott. He's played with all these people. All these other big stars bought into this game. This game is one of the big... And for games like Apex and Warzone and Blackout and stuff, like, they really do need to... I mean, there was what? DayZ was one of them.
Unknown Battlegrounds came out before Fortnite did too. So, but it wasn't refined then. But also Fortnite, I think Epic probably only had the conversation of like, well, why don't we try this? Because PUBG was taking off.
Exactly. And Fortnite has it. They have their gimmick. It's colorful. It's fun. It's directed towards kids. They can sell toys off of this. They can do all this different type of stuff. And it's free. That was the biggest thing. The Battle Royale, like PUBG, you have to pay for. And it was, you know, getting Steam. But this was free. This is free to play. All you have to pay for is either A, the Battle Pass, or B, any kind of cosmetics that you want. It doesn't change anything for the game. Doesn't do anything. It is free. Ever since Fortnite came out, if a game comes out and it does not have Battle Royale, at this point, it is just null and void. And it was the same thing when video games started doing multiplayer. If your game did not have multiplayer and it was just single player, people wouldn't buy it.
Yeah. And I would love to be corrected if I'm wrong, but I think it's safe to say that Fortnite really paved the way and set the standard for free-to-play being 100%. Viable. Not only viable, but probably the way to go for the future of most games. And introduced the concept of the Battle Pass, which I think... there are people who have problems with, because it's like, oh, they keep charging you every few months to play the same game. But they are putting so much extra content continually into this game for the price of $7 every 3 months.
100%.
That's such a crazy good value when you think about it. Over the course of a whole year, if you bought one game for $60 versus if this is your game and you every 3 months pay $7 to get the like the pass that has all this extra shit. It's a no brainer as far as like, you're not, I mean, there's a bunch of other stuff you could buy. And if there's another thing that they do right, it's they have perfected and become like top tier as far as when I go to the store, I can buy everything that's in there. I'm not going to because I'm an adult and I can control myself. But like the skins and everything that they designed for this game are so good.
Right.
They're so well made. They all have something to them that makes you like want to kind of buy into it, which is, I guess, the point. The one thing I'll say is that as far as I can tell, and maybe I missed the seasons where it existed, there's no like loot boxes to Fortnite either. Nope. Like there's no Apex pack equivalent where you just have to buy something and then you get shit. The current Battle Pass, it has 10 pages. Every level you earn 5 stars, or in the beginning I think you get like 15 per level. And then each thing on the page, there's 10 items. One costs 3, one costs 4, one costs 7. And then once you've unlocked the first 9, you unlock 10, the 10th one, which is usually like the cool skin for that page. But you can be Battle Pass level 40 and on like page 8 and grabbing something, and you can get anything in any order that you want instead of going down this like, you know, linear line, which I am all for that. Because if I want the thing that's level 100, it sucks that I have to literally wait till 100 to get to that one thing. And I know that actually from looking it up, that's not how every season of Fortnite's been. A lot of them have been XP progression based. They've kind of experimented back and forth. But the one that I came back into, this one for chapter 2, season 7, is awesome. Like, I love it. I think it's the perfect model.
Yeah.
And not only that, but like the season, and then halfway through or further, like they add in Superman, which has all these different quests, and then all this skin for Superman, which costs nothing extra. It's just another bonus on the side of the battle pass. They have the free guy emote in there now, which is cool, little quest line to get the like Ryan Reynolds voice line and the emo, like all that extra stuff, the Ariana Grande thing, the whole live event for that. And then you get her skin and all like the different stuff that comes with that. All again, all of it free. None of that costs any extra.
They don't have to do any of this whatsoever at all. They're doing it because, one, they love the game that they made. They're profiting off of the game that they made. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
hell yeah.
I mean, if you didn't love what you did and you were making money, you wouldn't do it. But my favorite battle royale, Apex, I think really, like, Respawn really does need to thank Fortnite for doing this, because Apex, free to play. Game's great. It's a little bit of a different one, right? You know, you got all these legends. There's actually a lore to the game as well, which is like fucking sweet. I love the lore of Apex so much. Like, I could talk about that with people forever, and people are just like, okay, yeah, that's great. Like, I don't care. I'm like, how do you not care? Like, it's fucking awesome. They do have a battle pass, but it is linear, very linear. But, and it's like star based. They changed it because I don't even remember why they changed it. They just changed it. And a lot of people hated it, but I've grown to like it. I've completed the battle pass twice for Apex, so I get to level 110 and you get the cool gun skin at the end. But like, it's things like that. You pay $10 for 3 months and you get all this shit.
Yeah.
I do think that there is a very big gimmick in Apex, and I think they need to change it, because I don't think it's fair to a lot of people that have been playing the game for a while. One out of 500 packs that you open will have heirloom shards. That means you have to pay for 500 packs, and within those 500 packs, you'll get an heirloom, which the heirlooms are, you know, cosmetic melee weapons that don't have any effect or don't do anything for the character. It's just cool to have. But it's like,
and only you can see them too.
And
right?
Only you can only no no no.
Now you can see them if someone has it out.
Yeah, someone has it out, you can see it. The only thing is, you can't use it on every character. Only that specific character can.
Right.
So like,
at least they give you shards, so you can pick the one you want.
Right. They give you shards. They don't just give you whatever, you know. And then you buy what you want, and then you get it. But I think it is ridiculous that 1 in 500 packs will lend you heirloom shards. It's ridiculous, because you can go, I mean, it's really towards these content creators or people that really want to fucking spend money. You know, these content creators throw in $500, you know, boom, they can get it. There's 10 heirlooms right now in the game.
Right.
I have one. I opened one a fucking week ago and I was the happiest person ever. But now
right.
I'm
huge dopamine surge off of that.
Yeah. And now I'm like, okay, if I get heirloom shards, do I want to wait for, you know, this character who I play a lot for their heirloom? Am I going to wait, you know, 3 more seasons for them to get theirs? Or am I going to wait another 4 seasons? Or do I want to get a characters now? Like, it sucks that you can't use them with multiple characters, and I get
right.
it. But I think that is the biggest gimmick. I mean, 500 packs, like,
well,
shit's crazy.
And both games have kind of stolen stuff from each other. Like, again, going to life for the Fortnite versus Apex mm-hmm. scenario there. I will say that having played both, I think that I feel way more rewarded with the stuff that I earn in Fortnite, mm-hmm. like the dances, the emotes, stuff like that, that they can be used on any of the characters, anywhere, anytime. But they all feel more work was put into them, like more effort. Mm-hmm. Like in Apex, when you go like the first 20 levels and it's just like a kind of lazy reskin of the same one, yeah. That's how I felt. You have to grind it out to get to like that really cool one. And I think that's maybe just because they haven't. They're not as far on the trajectory. Fortnite's right. on season 17, yeah. If you want to, you know, actually go individual.
Exactly.
So they're further. I think back to before chapter 2 for Fortnite even, they weren't like at the level they are now.
No.
So it's probably not fair to compare that directly, yeah. But that's how I feel right now playing it, is I'm like, I feel more rewarded because half the stuff I get in Apex is to me just trash.
Yeah. 100%.
I don't want half the shit. Yeah. I don't care about it. Almost everything that I've unlocked in Fortnite to some level, I'm like, yeah, I would use that.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. I don't think Apex has, or Respawn has, they've gotten to this point, and their game is already I mean, it's taking off more now than it has been in a long time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's reaching its stride, like right around that point, I think, where Fortnite was getting like to probably on the like lower end, like when they're starting to dive down near chapter two.
And we can, and I can thank Warzone for that, because Warzone, you know, Call of Duty, they've been having a lot of hackers and things like that. And people were just, and it makes sense, right? So like in everything, there's always a shift. And it's always certain people that make that shift. And content creators are the biggest ones to make a shift. So anytime a content creator says, you know what, I'm going to stop playing this game because I've been playing this game for however many years. Like, I'll say it right now, Courage JD, big shout out to him. He got this huge wave of people to play Apex. Apex is one of those games where you would think Call of Duty would have a ranked system or like a ranked play. That's really good, because Call of Duty's been around for so long. Meanwhile, you have Respawn, who, I mean, not too big of a studio, right? Not as big as fucking.
But at their core, actually, are the core reason Call of Duty exists.
Exactly, 100%. Has this amazing ranked system. You have to grind out ranked to be an Apex Predator, which is like top 750 in the world. And like, they love it. Courage JD made the switch. He made a video on YouTube. He said, listen, I'm done playing Warzone for right now. Warzone's helping my career out, just like Fortnite did. He played Fortnite, helped his career out. He played Warzone, helped his career out. Now he's taking a swing at Apex. Now you got people like Nick Merckx, Cloaksy, fucking Shroud's back playing it. Like, all these people are playing this game, and there's such a shift. And like, Apex is being celebrated now. And it's like so cool to see a game that I love and I've been like fucking playing nonstop, and seeing all these people play it. And like, when I watch these people play and they do something, and I'm like, no, you shouldn't do it like that. And like, I'm talking to them through their stream and they're acknowledging it, and they're like, oh, thank, that's a good tip. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you get to lend your knowledge and shit like that. And it's so cool to see someone like pick up a game and learn it, and then they like just go forward with it. And like, I don't play ranked on Apex because I just don't have that time to grind that out and all that stuff. So I just like pub stomping, and I have fun doing that. And that's what's cool about games like this. You've got these different avenues of where you can play it and you can have fun either way. But it's Apex time now, and I hope that they get all the cool emotes. They do all this cool stuff, because there are, like, I think it is, you know, we have a new legend. And I was telling this to a friend. We have a new legend. I think if you buy the battle pass, you get one, you get a skin for the legend, you get an emote, you get a fly emote, you get a cool like a keychain thing for the gun, like a gun charm. That should be standard going forward. Like, let this character actually have an emote to start, because unlocking it through the battle pass, I get it, like, yeah, they should do that. But like, making it level 70 for them to get an emote, and it's not even really that cool of an emote, come on, please just give it to me free at the beginning when I buy it. Awesome. And I'm here for it. But yeah, I'm with you, dude. I'm actually stoked to try out some Fortnite.
Right? I did not feel that way when I started. I was just like, oh my God, fine. I'll just uninstall, I'll play whatever. I hate this dumb game. And then I think even the first one, I was like, yeah, this game is fucking. And then the second one, I was like,
damn it.
I mean, it's okay. And now fast forward, and I'm like, you guys want to play?
hey, you guys want to play Fortnite? Kids are like, no, I don't want to play Fortnite. Leave me alone.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't play it enough at any point to know, like, a lot of how it was before, or even really remember. Because, like, now, they said when you knock somebody down, they're able to crawl around, like, Apex, you know, which I know wasn't always a thing. And then you can pick up a downed enemy and just carry him with you. You can shake him down, which will reveal his teammates' locations. Same with your allies. If they go down, you can pick them up, carry them somewhere safer, and then pick them back up. They have the, you know, the respawn vans, which are, you know, totally inspired by Apex.
Yeah, like, of course.
Completely.
Yeah.
But it makes the game better.
It does.
And they definitely learn makes from this each game other. Better. Right.
That's what's so good about it.
Yeah, I'm sure. There was something I was thinking of that I think Apex, it seems like they took from there. Like, I think with their emotes, like when they have like the little hollow emotes and stuff like that, like that's exactly what Fortnite does.
Yeah.
But also, to me, those are the most boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. They're just not my kind of thing. Sprays and stuff don't really, I don't care.
I don't ever do like a hollow spray or anything like that. I emote on, like, if I kill someone, I'll emote on them. Like, it's great. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I have Octane where he throws his jump pad down and he jumps on it and he's doing different poses as he's doing it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Get fucked, nerd.
Yeah. And then that's the one thing that I do like with like the dances and emotes in Fortnite is that, like, they have so much other stuff. Like, a couple of them, the dances include like real life songs that I recognize and I like, and or like the one with Ryan Reynolds and it, like, I feel like that's the only game that has that opportunity to like cross that kind of stuff over.
Definitely love it.
But there was a game that you showed me before we started, something I know you're interested in,
dude. I'm fucking so stoked.
Why don't I step down and give the floor to you to tell me what you're looking forward to in this game.
Well, one, my Fortnite has downloaded, so that's cool.
All right, end the episode and let's go.
So the game that it's no secret here from the Good Game guys, I'm a huge Pokemon nerd. Earlier this week, I think on the 18th, they had like a showcase. They had like their Pokemon Direct, which was fucking awesome. I'm super stoked. Diamond and Pearl, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl is coming out November, I believe. And, you know, it's like chibi-style Pokemon. The Pokemon can follow you in this one, which I cannot wait. People have been asking for that for a long time since they did it in Soul Silver and Heart Gold. Any Pokemon can follow you. Now, back again. But the real showstopper is Pokemon Legends Arceus. I am so stoked for this. It's Sinnoh region.
Arceus? Is it I always thought it was Arceus. I guess
everyone pronounces it differently. Everyone does.
I would definitely assume you are right and I'm wrong.
I'm probably wrong, and I literally, and I'm just reading it how I want to at this point. I'm an adult. No one can tell me different. I'm set in my ways.
That's true. It's not even a real guy.
Exactly.
No one's going to correct you.
Fake Pokemon Llama, so don't care. Do not care. So we are in the Hisui region before it changed to the Sinnoh region. I'm fucking so happy about this game. Open world, Pokemon are roaming free. You can die if you get attacked by Pokemon. If the Pokemon hit you enough, you can black out and you will be respawned back at like a Pokemon center, which is crazy. So now like there's risk to going out there. Even with your Pokemon, if you don't throw them out fast enough.
Just out in the woods, then a Rhydon comes out, just beats the fucking shit out of you.
Just lays you out. Like in the video I showed you.
Wake up on mom's couch, like, oh!
Like these Pokemon are getting corrupted by something. Like Ursaring is running at you. Like a huge bear is just barreling towards you. And it's like, okay. now we've got a Pokemon horror game. Sick, dude. It's like Five Nights at Freddy's, but with Pokemon. So in this, Pokemon can be ridden on land, sky or sea. There's a cool new battle style to this game as well. There's called strong style or agile style. So when you start fighting with your Pokemon, and in this I think they showed it was a Gastrodon versus a Lucario, they kind of broke it down. There is an attack order, so depending on your Pokemon's speed, defense, attack, all that stuff, it all comes down to numbers. Your Pokemon could attack more than once, which allows for setting up either strong style or agile style. So you can agile style, like a Calm Mind. And then if you have a Lucario, he can move again because he's obviously faster than the Gastrodon. He can attack a second time. So there's like, there's intricacies to it. It's a lot of like planning and strategy to it, which is really fucking cool. And I can't wait for it. Any kind of like Pokemon battles, like for online and stuff like that, will not be in Pokemon Legends Arceus. They're going to be doing it still in Sword and Shield, but with the new Pokemon, I believe. So, the new Pokemon, well, your starters are from a variety of regions. You've got Rowlet from Alola, Cyndaquil from Johto, and Oshawott from Unova. So, they're doing they're almost like samurai. Feudal Japan styled esque Pokemon, where Samurott, Typhlosion, and Decidueye. The cool thing is some of the new Pokemon, and I just really wanted to throw in like a couple of them are different forms and kind of like their stories behind them. So We've got the normal psychic type Weird Ear, who evolves from Stantler. It's an evolution of Stantler adapted to the colder region it lives in. It is revered amongst people, and garments are made from its shedded fur, and they're highly prized. So you can ride this Weird Ear around to get around places, blah, blah, blah. Basculegion, who like Basculin. This is probably my favorite like explanation of how Basculegion becomes, or Basculin becomes a Basculegion. This new Pokemon is an evolution of Basculin, occurring when it's said to have absorbed the souls of other Pokemon from its school, specifically ones that could not withstand the harsh journey upstream. It is empowered by these souls and uses the power to swim with incredible force without ever tiring. Like, how badass is that? Like, he absorbed the souls of the lost fish to evolve. Like, that's pretty sweet. Super dope. He's water ghost type, which is a very rare typing. There's only, I think, one other water ghost, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's Frillish and Jellicent. I think they're the only water ghosts. No, Corsola as well. I think Corsola's water ghost too. Well, Galarian Corsola. We have Hisuian Growlithe. Now we're getting into the forms where, like, you know, Galarian form, Alolan form. Hisuian Growlithe, who likes, he just looks like the goodest boy. He's just so cute. Hisuian Growlithe has grown fur over its head and face to keep its flame warm in the harsh winters. It also has a sharp horn on its head that is made of rock. While sharp, this horn is brittle, breaking on impact. Because of this, Hisuian Growlithe only uses it when it'll have the greatest effect. While living in the wilds of Hisui, Growlithe have kept their distance from humans. Building trust with one will take time and patience. Once you've earned its trust, you'll get to make use of its fire slash rock types attack. So he's rock and fire type, which is dope. Which kind of breaks the... He's only two times affected by rock now, because... You know, he's not four times affected anymore, which is pretty sweet. And then last but not least, we have Hisuian Bravery. So this is a new form of bravery evolved from Rufflet's endemic to the Hisui region. It tends to live alone rather than in a flock like it's normal. This one's generally larger too. Hisuian Bravery imbues its screeches with psychic energy, generating powerful shockwaves. It also has razor sharp talons that it uses to seize its prey. Some have reported that it can enter a sort of trance, boosting its psychic abilities. I think he's going to be psychic flying, which is pretty dope. I think we only have a few psychic flying as well. Also, we've got a Pokédex, which I think it's weird because, like, judging by this, when you watch the trailer, there is the, they're called the Galactic something team, but like I call them Get for short, which it's weird because in this is taking place in Sinnoh, which Diamond and Pearl is Sinnoh, and in Sinnoh region you have the Team Galactic. This is like the first formation of Team Galactic, but like they're the good guys. So like Silene is there, which is like Cyrus's great grandmother. Kamado's there, which is like Rowan's great great grandfather. So, like, it's cool because, like, you see them and you see that they look just like, you know, their grandkids, which is like, oh, wow, they founded this land. Like, the main hub that you're in is called Jubilife Village, which is much like Jubilife City in Sinnoh. But I think in this, really, you have to worry about the Pokemon that are being corrupted by whatever force is out there. And then you have to, you know, Pokedex. You are forming the first Pokedex ever. The first one, which is pretty cool. There's like 88 Pokemon right now in the game that are confirmed in the game, which is pretty cool. I'm pretty stoked. All from different generations, which is going to be really, really sick. I'm super stoked for it. But yeah, dude, open world, you can craft Pokeballs. Like, you have different things to craft Pokeballs. Like, the Pokeballs are made out of wood in this now. So, like, you use like wooden
stuff. Imagine getting hit in the head with one of those. Yeah. Your Pokemon just like right in the fucking dome with a wooden ball.
I really hope they go like really in depth with it. Like, if you try to use a wooden one on like a fire type, it kind of just like bursts in flames. Like, or just like that won't work because he's a fire type. Like, real intricacies to it. Like, I'd be
what kind of ball do you have to use for the fire type?
Maybe a fucking
A water ball?
No, because it'll die. maybe like, I don't know.
You have to throw a water balloon on him first, douse the flames, and while he's dying, then you put him in the water ball.
in the Pokeball, so he lives. Yeah, but I'm super stoked for it.
The strong style and agile style.
Yes.
Does this mean that I can go out into the world and capture the king of strong style, Shinsuke Nakamura?
Yes.
I'm buying the team.
The game releases January 28th of 2022, which is actually really not that far away.
It sounds further away than it is.
Yes, because like when they announced it, I was like, damn, that's like super close. Like thinking about it, it's like...
I mean, we're almost September. Right. And that's just 4 months away.
Exactly.
And then, you said January or February?
January.
Yeah, so 4 months away. Yeah. It's not bad.
January 28th, which is pretty cool. I mean, we're a few months away from...
We're about to enter spoopy season.
Spoopy season's going to be right around the corner. I love spoopy season. You know why I love spoopy season? I love spoopy season for video games. And video games only because they do different
events. Well, there's just no better time of the year to me than like September through December. Because you got the Halloween. Then you got
good
fall time. Then you got Christmas time. It's just, it's good festive. It's good. The rest of the year is just like normal year. Like summer is just like, the sun is there. But there's nothing like, I don't know. I don't care about like other, 4th of July. I don't give a shit.
It's crazy to me because like people have just different moods. So like from September to like December, everyone's in a good fucking mood. And it's like, wow, I wish
the best time to be alive.
Right. I wish you could be in a good mood like this the other months of the year and not a fucking raging asshole.
Well, you know why? At least where we live, in the like dead of winters, like once you get to like January and it's just cold, it's just miserable. It's fucking cold and gross all the time. And you just like, God damn, I wish it was warm. And then spring comes and then for like 2 hours, everyone's like, yes, this is sweet. And then it's summer. Everyone's like, it's so fucking hot. I hate this. I really want it to be a better condition. I hate all of that. I just got to sit inside an AC. And then fall comes around and you're like, oh, so good. I can go pick apples. Oh, pumpkin time. Oh, very good. Spoopy. I'm going to eat lots of food. Presents. And then you go right back into the bullshit.
Oh, year round for me, baby. Can't wait. Can not.
You see that?
I see that, man. Look at him.
Boop.
Little basher, man. Look at Boop. Him. He's not so little anymore.
No, he's big.
He's a big boy. But yeah, I'm going to be living somewhere where it's going to be nice pretty much all year round. Except for when it does snow and literally half an inch of snow and they shut the whole fucking state down. So,
yeah, I'm calling out. It's a bit of a dusting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Like, I'm really hoping that tomorrow's really not bad. For the storm that's impending here.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I went to the old Dollar General earlier and I bought some beans and some Pop Tarts. You know, nice. The good. Non-perishables.
Hell yeah. I'm probably going to charge up my Switch tonight. That way, if we do lose power, I actually have something to fucking enjoy my life.
The essentials. Hey, you know what's on your Switch? I mean, you won't be able to play it without internet, but Fortnite's on your Switch.
That's true. You know what else is on there?
Your cell phone.
Mind you, let me go ahead and throw out there, we got two new Pokemon joining the roster for Pokemon Unite as well. Which was in that trailer. I haven't been playing it.
I know the last episode we ended with like, I was like, fuck yeah! And now I haven't played it.
I mean, there's a lot of games, man. We're gamers.
It was no boyfriend dungeon.
Yeah,
facts. I didn't get to smooch nearly enough Pokemon in contrast to how many swords I got to smooch in that game.
Right. So the two Pokemon, mind you, it's only two that they announced. I was a little bummed out. I was really hoping for like three or four. Mamoswine will be joining. Big bulky boy. And Sylveon will be joining as well. So I think Mamoswine is going to be
a good boy.
Yeah, I think Mamoswine is going to be more of like a tanky kind of Pokemon, tank and attacking and holding that bottom lane. And Sylveon will be kind of like attacking, nimble, good boy.
Good boy.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, I'm ready. I'm ready to try out some Fortnite.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go hop and get that big dub, that big victory.
So you're playing Fortnite on what?
PC.
Oh, okay. So I'm playing on my PlayStation. So we can probably just do Discord. I have like a chat link capable.
We can just do in-game. It's cross-plat.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And then I'll just... wait, do they have duos in there?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the thing. It has solo, duos, trios, and squads.
Dude, I wonder if Apex will ever do that, if they'll ever do solos and squads. It'd be but really...
There's all that, and there's the arena, which is like the ranked versions of those same styles, and
Dude, squads.
But then they have a bunch of... It's like with the old Halo playlists. They always have... They have like Ground War. They have all this kind of mixed
in. That's what I wanted to mention earlier, too, when we were talking about battle passes and free-to-play. Like, Halo... Infinite is going to be crazy. Their multiplayer is going to be free.
It's going to be taken, and it's going to have a battle pass. It's going to be taken on the new model. It's going to be the Halo, but with this new gaming model for 2021. I can't wait.
And if you get the, say you jump into Halo Infinite, fucking year three, it's out, right? And you're playing, and you're like, damn, those skins from year one look sick. Guess what? You can get them. Their battle pass, you will be able to revert back and get. I want Apex to do it so bad because there's some awesome skins I missed out on. And it would just be, let me pay $10 and I can grind it out. Like, you're not losing at all. Like, if they did that for Apex, like, pay $10 and you can, you know, get this old battle pass. All right, sure. I'm here for it. I'll do it.
Right, if you're still spending the same money. Well, you know why they won't do that, though? Because that makes sense to us, but... They can prey upon your desire to have that skin by putting it in the store and charging you more than the battle pass price for just that one skin now.
100%.
Because now it's a supply and demand thing.
Right. When they bring
now that it doesn't exist, you're like, oh shit, it's on the store for 2 days. If I don't buy it now, I'm never going to fucking get it.
Mm-hmm. You know what's crazy? Talking about something like that, way back in the day, playing Destiny 2, there was a gun that you started with. It was like an assault rifle gun. If you kept that gun, if you never got rid of that gun, later on in the game, you can use that gun and imbue it into like a really strong assault rifle. Like there was like a quest for it that you have to do. And I didn't even know about this. I started my whole game over because I was like, fuck, I want the gun. Started over and then you get the gun and it's pretty sick, but not something that they tell you.
It's another game that's free to play now.
Yep. Free to play, you just got to pay for the expansions, which, dude, free to play is the way to go. Your game doesn't have to be complete.
There's nothing to lose. You get everybody can play it. It's fully accessible because it's free, and you're going to get people who either put tons of money, like the whales who are going to put tons of money into it and help support you, or even just the people who pay $10 but here and there that wouldn't otherwise not pay $60 for your game.
You're not losing out on anything.
And you get a consistent player base over time when you're actually doing like the battle pass structure and consistently adding more to your game and evolving it over time. Way more do I want to do that than just play one stagnant game that never changes. Like the Call of Duty to me, I don't know how much longer it's going to last.
Yeah.
$60 for the same fucking game every year that doesn't change is the same thing. And like, you can only, that's it. What comes in the game is it. And if you want to buy extra shit, they're still going to charge you for a battle pass.
Right.
That's not going to fucking work much longer. Like, they're only going off of the reputation and the like the brand awareness and the people who are just like, oh, it's Call of Duty, and I'm used to that for the past 10 years.
Right.
That's not going to last forever.
Ever. Like, at all.
But I don't think Activision will ever release a Call of Duty for free. You know, I don't think they'll ever take that, because they still, right now, they still can do $60. But they're going to, like, you're going to start to see the profits decline. Right? There's no way that sales don't go down.
100%.
Warzone's a good answer, and it is free. But also, if that exists, how many people are going to keep buying the other version, you know?
Right.
You think I haven't watched any of the information on it. Is there going to be a Warzone-esque version for Vanguard?
I think so. I do think
like
so.
Like a World War II update?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting. The first World War II BR, I think, unless I'm overlooking a different one.
No, I think you're right.
Which that could be cool, or it could be really, really bad. It could not be good at all.
We'll have to see.
Well, I'm going to go plot out my path to become the world's best trainer and capture Shinsuke Nakamura, King of Strong Style, in my handmade wooden Pokeball.
And I'm going to try to be the best I can ever be on Fortnite.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be there with you.
Hell yeah.
It's a great game.
Teach me the way, Sensei.
We're going to retcon this podcast. And from the very beginning of episode one, I'm going to say, anytime where I was like, Fortnite's trash, I'm going to say, Fortnite is really cool. I'm just going to dub over it. It looks awesome. Like I'm not an asshole.
That'd be so sick. But yeah, thank you guys for joining and listening to us. We've been the good game guys.
Yeah, I made fun of our neighbor. Oh boy, I think I called him some fucking name because I could hear him playing Fortnite through the floor. And now I'm upstairs, like with my kids, and I'm like, get the jug of juice.
Get the chug jug.
Get the meet me at the sweaty swamp.
That's funny.
All right, hey, have a great week, and I'll see you the next time we do this.
Hey, yeah, baby.
Hey, thanks for listening to this new episode of The Good Game Guys. I am editing this episode 3 weeks after we recorded it to give you a little insight into how we're doing and how much we're keeping up with this. Thanks for sticking around with us. And, you know, we're just doing it for fun because we like to do it. And we hope that you still stick with us, even if it's not locked in tight on a production schedule. Because we are going to keep it up. We're on episode 5 of season 3, which is still pretty cool to think about. So we're definitely going to keep going. And maybe we'll get on a little bit more of a routine now that we've kind of had some breathing space. Yeah, thanks again, guys. And we'll see you in the next episode.